Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. You're listening to Your Photography Podcast. I'll be your host, Adam Phillips. I'm an active lifestyle and commercial business photographer and videographer with over 16 years of experience. And while I may have a good knowledge base for creating images and video, everyone has a unique perspective on creating still and motion pictures and the do's and don'ts of operating a business. That's why I created Your Photography Podcast, so that we can make a space for learning and growing a community. Whether you're just starting to find your eye in photography or you are a seasoned professional, there will always be something here for you.
Yeah, so I'm Daniel. I basically post everything on Instagram, so my handle is daniel.bowmanphoto. I've been doing photography for a long time. I think I ran into you in Alaska in, what, 2015,
I think. Yeah.
Not long ago. But I've been, like, doing photography as a hobby since, like, 2013 or something. So 10 years now, probably. And then slowly, I have had some gigs here and there. But yeah, I'm not like a full-time photographer or videographer, but I have a normal job and I have been focusing on, I have a little board back here of some new goals for this year to try to like utilize these skills that I've been gathering for the last like 10 years or whatever.
If you want to just share some of those things, because this won't show the video. It doesn't say, it doesn't say the video.
Oh, it doesn't.
I don't pay that much for it.
Yeah, so this year I have a whiteboard. I have a whiteboard behind me in the office. And basically I started a YouTube last month. I have some photography goals I upgraded to. I actually have the R5 now. But I finally got a real big boy camera. And I got some new lenses and battery packs and tripods. And I have a gimbal for video because the R5 is dope and I can do video and photo with it. And then I also have like a side business thing. So I have like a 3 categories on my outside of my normal job that can make me money. Like YouTube eventually will make money. Photography. I've had a couple gigs recently since I got the new gear. I kind of was doing this gig with a company called Blade HQ. They're kind of like the Amazon of knives. So they're not, they're just like a retailer of a bunch of different knives and all their knives are way expensive, but I don't know. I haven't really ever been hired for like a legit job. I just had a friend who worked there who was like, yeah, you should definitely shoot some of these knives. And then I did, and I did get paid, but they never used any of the photos and they're never going to use any of the photos. And he basically like after a couple months was like, hey, let's have you stop doing that. I'm like, okay. But I know the content was good. It's just, I heard there was some like internal drama. They had like an owner like decided to come back into the business and was like changing up their model and all the stuff that they were doing. And I don't know, but they had like YouTube with like 500,000 subs. Like they're a big company. And I liked, like, to me, that was the coolest part of photography. Cause I was getting paid, like I would just charge them like $500 a night or something.
Yeah.
Like a good amount. And that was the first time in 10 years of like doing something that was enjoyable and getting paid for it. Cause like I can go shoot a wedding. I don't want to do that. I don't want nothing to do with that. I can go shoot family photos. I don't want to do that. Like I just did a family session of like a friend of mine and I do their photos every year, a couple times a year. Cause he's one of like, he asks me every year and I don't want to say no, but like not my favorite kind of thing. Cause it's not that the content isn't my favorite to capture. It's just like, I would much rather work with an inanimate, not a live object that I can take into the mountains where I already want to be and take photos of it.
Right. Know? No, that makes complete sense to me. Cause it's one of those, you have people that they get really emotionally attached to their pocketbook and paying you for the money. And then when you work for a business that's like, has that marketing fund set aside, they're like, here you go. Here you go. These look great. Like it does what they need them to.
Yeah, you submit an invoice. Yeah. Right.
So
yeah, that was the first time I had to do that where it's not like a personal friend, like waiting for a Venmo or like a random family friend or a friend of a friend who like wanted me to shoot their photos. This was like, I had an invoice. I sent an email. I got a check in the mail. And it was dope. So like part of my goals this year are try to find more gigs like that. On the board, I have written out, send an email a week to a potential client, which is like, that should be the bottom bar. If you want to try to make it the photographer or a videographer, like at the very minimum, the least you could do is reach out to a company a week. That's 52 emails for the year. And even then, you might only get one client because that's such a small amount. But I just have learned, my inner circle of like friends, I'm like really good friends with three full-time photographer and videographers now. Like every time I talk to them, like, what should I do? They're like, how many people have you reached out to this week? I'm like, none. I'm like, how many of you reached out to last year? I'm like, none. I just want them to come see my Instagram and get me a job. And it's like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, I think, and that's something that I've seen, is you get, it's a hustle for one, but you have to show them that you're interested and then remind them that you're interested and then remind them and then remind them again. And it's like, sometimes it feels a little bit like you're that noisy kid in the corner, but or whatever that you're like, oh, so annoying.
Yeah,
but
you gotta be the squeaky wheel. And it's like, I think we all, at least for me, I have learned in the last 10 years that the people that I'm comparing myself to, for whatever reason, I thought they don't do that. They're not begging people for work. And like the opposite is true. They had their time where they were begging people for work. They were reaching out to people for work. They were having to deal with, like, one of my buddies just filmed like the sickest ad for this gun company ever. But even him last year, he was saying like, man, I have to like hound this other client to get me a paycheck. And this guy is like a legit videographer. Him and his friends built a legit ad agency. And on his side work, he's still having to chase down the money. And it's like the idea that it's that you're going to have this level of respect from clients, like it'll come maybe at some point, but like no matter what, like chasing down money is a part of the game and getting rejected, a huge part of the game if you want to be successful. And so far, that's been my like biggest weakness has been like, oh, I messaged someone on Instagram last week. Like, I'm doing everything I can. And like, the truth is I'm not even doing a fraction of what I can. You know what I mean? But because I'm afraid to get rejected.
Yeah. Truth. No, I definitely can see that. I mean, not in you, but like, I'm just saying, like, I think everyone has to like some hurdle within that realm to overcome. And I think for me, I'll just share this because for me, the most success I had when I would, or like, I shouldn't say the most success, but like I was best at sending an email or doing all those things like right before I had to go into a job that I hated. And it was like,
that's a good point. It was like, motivator.
Oh my gosh, I'm ready to not be doing this. And actually, and it was usually right after going to the gym, and I had high endorphins and like just like good self-esteem because you just worked out and did and felt good about yourself. And then it was like right before I went into a job I hated. So it was like, but I would cold call people hard, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people were like, this isn't how this is done. And I was like, well, I'm gonna be different. But
well, it's like, who knows how it's done, right? And so like the biggest example everyone can look at, it's like the most obvious example, is you can look at like Mr. Beast. He's this, the world's most subscribed YouTuber, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he had a video that he posted. It was a short. And he was saying like, everyone told me I was crazy. Everyone told me to stop posting the videos that way. Everyone told me you can't go to a dealership and ask them to buy a car with 100,000 pennies. That's not how it works. And then he's like saying like where he's at now. And he's like, where's all that paid now? Like, what are you guys talking about? It worked. The way I was doing things worked. So it's like, there should never really be, there are like a suggested way to do things. I'm sure there are a suggested way to get clients, but like, I don't know of any other way, and I'm the worst at it. So
you're not the
worst. I'm guessing cold calling or whatever is, I am very bad so far, but it's a goal this year to do better at it. But I think like my friend that I'm referencing so far, he was telling me that he would go in physically to like local businesses and say like, hey, your website's terrible. Like, I just looked you up on Google and it's trash. Do you want new photos or do you want a video? And he said like, yeah, sometimes they would say, like most times they'd say no, but every now and then he got a couple clients in the beginning doing it that way. I don't know if I have the balls to do that though.
No, it's, you do it once and then it like, I mean, I shouldn't say just once, but like the more something it's done that it's out of your comfort zone, like it definitely makes it easier to do it, like, or continue doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we, so I'll just hit you with this question. So, what do you enjoy most about photography?
That's a great question. Like photography is just like, I kind of like the origin story of me becoming a photographer is kind of hilarious because I've always been creative, but I always like have to get to a certain point, a breaking point in anything new for me to like fully be like, okay, I'm going to learn that. So I had people around me that did photography and I made friends with them. And then as soon as they didn't want to do the kind of photography that I wanted to go do with them, so I had a buddy that would come out with me and shoot photos of landscapes and stuff, and then he didn't really like that. Kind of became a photographer out of like fight, honestly. I was like, fine, like I don't need you, I'm gonna get my own camera, I'm gonna go do this own thing. And so for me, photography kind of started out as like I used to do it on my iPhone. I just wanted to capture things that were cool. Instagram was just coming out like 10 years ago, and I wanted to post cool stuff, and I had this like creative itch. And so for me, like my favorite part about photography was just being like, there, I don't need someone else to go do something. And I like my, one of my other favorite things is driving around and seeing new places. And it was like, this is like good match. Like I already love road tripping and I need like an excuse to go to places. Cause sometimes it's like, what's the excuse of going like driving 8 hours on a weeknight to like go see a waterfall or something? Like I know a lot of people do that, but for me it just kind of felt like I could be double dipping. I could like also take photos and share it with people. And so when I got my first camera, I kind of like I had already stored up a bunch of knowledge and like experience from working with a friend who had a camera. And so I like started off the gate like being like way above average for brand new photographer. And so like I was getting all this credit from people, and people were always like hyping me up like, wow, you're so good, I can't believe you just started. And that's like you should never like only do something for the hype, but it definitely made it easier to continue.
Yeah.
But for me, like currently my favorite part of photography is like I don't need to be in shape, I don't need to, nothing in my life can prevent me from like taking pictures. Like even if I like get into a wheelchair, like I can still use my camera somewhere. Like I can still itch a creative urge with the camera. And then I upgraded finally to a camera that can do really good video too. So that's my next phase of things, has been getting the video and kind of like building on that like creative itch.
No, I think that's pretty cool. One of the things that I think especially like as we, I mean, over the last 2 years, just video in general is just blown up. And it's like, I think it, as a photographer, it's almost somewhat hard because I like making like beautiful imagery, but I get often a lot of times from a client going, can you do a video for this? Can you do a video for that? And you're like, yeah, I can, but it's not exactly what I love.
Yeah, the difference I've always thought between photography and videography is like the barrier of entry for videography is much higher than photography. Like out of the gate, you need better equipment. Yeah. You just do. You need a camera that's capable of the video, and then you need the post-processing equipment to edit that video. So right there, that like makes it a lot harder to do. But the phrase I've always said throughout the years is like, it's a lot harder to tell a story with a photograph than it is with a video. Because you can always add music to video. You can add cuts. You can add different imagery and like tap into people's emotions with the video, but it's way harder. Like it's kind of like choose your heart. Like photography can only go so far, pictures worth 1,000 words or whatever, but you could literally just film 1,000 words. And, but they kind of intersect at some point. It's been hard making the transition from just photo to video. Like I'm still just such a noob with video, but it, when you finish a video, it's like the greatest feeling ever.
No, I agree. It's like, it's really cool to see it kind of all come together. And I think that's one of the cool things about like right now, I think we're in an age where age or time, whatever you want to call it, but like that there's a really awesome, like intermix of like combining the two sometimes. And so favorite lens and why. Now I think I just want to kind of stab in the dark. I know that for a while you were doing a lot of different astrophotography stuff, but I'm guessing the lens has changed from something that's specific to that.
I don't know. I'm such a lazy person that like everything in my life, including photography, like revolved around being kind of lazy. So probably like 2 years, all I had on my camera was, I don't have the lens here, was a 35 yeah. millimeter. That was the newest lens I bought. I bought it used on Amazon, and the day I bought it, I dropped it and shattered the freaking, I didn't shatter the element, but I shattered the screw-on rings, the plastic around the element. I still have that camera today. I still use it, or that lens today, but it was like the biggest purchase I had made at that point. It was like a $900 lens. It was the Sigma Art 35 1.4. And that one is my go-to for everything for a while. So specifically for astro, I think 35 millimeter is one of my favorite skies. My favorite astro skies is 35 yeah. millimeter, maybe 24, but I hadn't had a 24 millimeter lens. And so I just upgraded to this 24 to 70 yeah. like in June. But yeah, it's hard. I don't know. I usually am one of those people that just puts a lens on and never changes it. So for right after that, I bought my first 70 to 200 probably a year or two ago, and I just never took it off yeah. my camera. Because for photography in landscapes, which is like the majority of what I was doing, you just get bored of seeing a wide angle landscape. And then you get kind of bored of seeing like, oh, there's a cool foreground photo, like a foreground rock with a cool mountain. And it's like every time I kept taking photos, I'm like, I want to just see a different perspective. And so when I threw on the 70 to 200, like all my landscapes were yeah. at 200, which was just like a totally more like, it just like it elicits a different emotion when you can have, when you have a longer zoom. Like even on my iPhone, every time I'm filming a video or anything, it's always yeah. a 3x. Because what you want to, what I think makes it something interesting is if you're showing it at a different perspective than most people see it, which is like most people might just be filming in 1x. That's why when I do it in 3x, everyone's always like, what are your settings? That video looks so great. I'm like, I just yeah. zoomed in, you know, yeah. that was it.
Oh, that's cool. So you wouldn't necessarily, I guess you probably would say that you just go through stages then as far as, well, you said the 35, but.
Yeah, I don't know if there is one, especially in yeah. today. Like, I don't know if I have a favorite lens today. Like when I'm doing my product photography stuff, when I was doing that knife gig.
Yeah.
I think I just used my 35 because it was my widest yeah. aperture lens. It was a 1.4 and I really wanted some depth of field. And so I've kind of migrated into putting things into categories for like the specific vibe I'm going for. So, you know what I mean? So it's like whatever the tool for the task is kind yeah. of where I'm at now, trying to broaden my horizons for different stuff. Like I probably should shoot my portraits and things on my 70 to 200, but like I just did a family session and they wanted to take photos on their bed because they just yeah. had a newborn, and I can't put on my 70 to 200 there. So I was shooting at like 24, and I don't know, but I just like the Holy Trinity. Like I would only put those in my bag for the rest of my life probably, and maybe just have one prime, but I would like to do 16 to 35, but right now I have 24 to 70, 70 to 200. And then if I could, I would do like 16 to 35 is the one I don't have, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. That's, it's like when you were, I think this resonated with me a lot when you mentioned not having, or like trying to shoot stuff that's not in the same perspective as the way people see it. And I've yeah. rented a 24 to 70 for specific stuff. Usually a portrait type session or doing someone's wedding or something, but just so that I have it available to me. But for the most part, everything that I do is either a 70 to 200, it's on an 85 prime, or it's on a 16 to 35. So
yeah, that's also yeah. a good sweet spot. Cause
yeah. I don't have anything in the middle. So
the lenses are all too, all the technology is just too good now. So it doesn't necessarily even matter. Like you can bear, like on the RF lenses, like good luck trying to tell me that that's not a prime lens. Like you'd never really be able to see the difference. Be like, oh, you're shooting on a zoom lens. Like, oh, that must've been a 24 prime. You're like, nope, it's 24 to 70. Like every millimeter range through the whole thing is as sharp as it can be and is as quick as can be. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's kind of an interesting segue into like the future of photography for everyone is like I give this camera to like my girlfriend or someone if they want to take photos of their friends while we're out. Like we went camping and she wanted to take photos of her friend. I'm like, I programmed this star button to find the eye of a person. Yeah. So it's like I've taken portraits just holding this button down and closing my eyes and just spraying away. And every photo was focused perfectly on their eye. So it's like, you don't necessarily, it used to be a tell of a good photographer if their portraits were focused on the eye. Now it's like, how could you miss?
Yeah.
You can't with the modern gear, you know? So now there's like, what's the next level of like judging a photographer's skill or whatever? Like it's all relative, right? Like art is relative, but there are some standards. Like I don't care who you are. If you post a portrait and the nose isn't focused and the eye isn't, that's not a good photo. You know, it's still usable to some people, but it's not a good portrait.
At that point, you're messing around with grain and doing other things to hide your mistake. And I've seen that too often, I think, with people, but you're absolutely right. Like it's too easy and it's sometimes unfair, I think, in a way. I think someone just being like into it as long as I've been into it and whatnot, and I'm no expert by any means. It's partly why I'm trying to have guests on the podcast rather than just be myself talking, but because everyone else has their input or their insight from their perspective, and everyone's perspective is a little bit different. And so, but yeah, it's, I don't know. It's too easy. And sometimes frustrating as a seasoned photographer to watch new people make a mistake, or it's like, how did that even occur? Like, how is that even still happening?
Yeah. Yeah. And even with how good gear is, like you can still always make mistakes. It's just so much harder to make a mistake on like portraits and stuff like that. But then it just bumps the bar up or the next level of like being creative. Yeah. Like before it was like, hey, it's very hard to get to get a bunch of usable photos focusing on the eye. Now just take that off the table. Everyone's, if they bought a camera that was released in the last 5 years, that should be automatic. So now what's the next level of like things to work towards? Probably composition. It's probably the other parts that are important in photography or videography. It's like, just because you have a great camera, isn't going to make you a good photographer. It doesn't make you a great photographer. It'll make you a good photographer if you just buy one. You spend $9,000, you get an R5, you get an RF lens, you know, you get a filter or something or two. Like you could be a beginner and you could take an incredible set of photos. But I think it's kind of good for the industry because it's just supposed to, like everything now is focused on telling a story. Mm-hmm. Like the entry is easier. More people can tell stories because the gear is doing a lot of the hard work for you. But now it's all composition. It's all stage design. It's all set design. It's all backgrounds. It's like
lighting. Yeah. All that.
You know, lighting. You got to think about that and all those other things. All those things are still going to come and play just because you have a sharp eye. Doesn't mean you're going to have a portrait. You got to really still know composition and stuff like that, which the camera is never going to be able to tell you that this is the right composition for that photo or whatever.
And then too, with that, like that still falls into the perspective of that individual photographer, whether he wants to shoot it high or shoot it low or skew it or there's so many different. Yeah.
That does it just gives me a thought too. Like saying like you're a successful photographer. Like, what does that even mean? Like, cause it's true. Just because your perspective, like we always talk about, I want to shoot this in a perspective that's not seen before. And like, if it's not adopted by the masses as a good creative photo, then we think that it's not successful.
Yeah.
And like, it just depends on what your definition of success is. You know, if you're Mr. Beast, are you successful? Or if you have an account that you post videos on that you think are really good, like what's the level of success? You know, somewhere in between. You got to make, actually, I don't know. maybe like making a money or anything at all has nothing to do with being successful to some
people. Yeah, you know, I think there's different levels or different areas of success, I think. And you can say, oh, he's successful in his business, but he doesn't take successful photos. Or it could be the opposite of that. And he takes great images, but doesn't know how to do like the business side of stuff or whatever. And like,
yeah,
I think, and I say that in its own right, because I follow a lot of the guys that work at Pictureline, and they have some incredible images yeah. that they post, but they work at Pictureline. Like, not, and that's not a bad thing. We yeah. definitely need somebody to sell us a camera when we need it, or tell us about the new features that the rep told them about or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, to, you know, to gauge someone by their followers or what's in their bank account doesn't necessarily mean that they know exactly what they're doing with their photography or whatever. So
yeah. Yeah. It's such a weird industry, right? Because there are just so many different ways post a photo or to make a video. I mean, and it's like, just like food, you know, it's like saying like you get a Michelin star for your Chinese restaurant, but there's going to be people who are like, I cannot stand Chinese food. I would vomit if I had that person. You know what yeah. I mean? So that might just be like breaking a category, finding a category that you feel you fall in, and then trying to like make metrics to improve. In my opinion, that's success. Like, if you want to be a wedding photographer, cool. What are some metrics that you would like to hit? And then that's how you can gauge yeah. success. If it's a money goal, sure. Do things that make money. If it's like a style goal, like I want to be like that person or whatever, like I want to feel confident in my style, then
yeah.
that's like the only way that you can really measure it, because it's so subjective.
Yeah. And it's going to be subjective to each person. Like what? Yeah. And you, I guess like as a listener, for anyone listening, you need to just determine what that is for yourself, not let other people tell you what that should be, because it can stifle creation. I feel like we're kind of in a good spot to ask you this next question I had. If you could change anything about the industry, what would it be? If you answer that, like, I don't really, I know it's a hard, it's a,
yeah, there's,
yeah.
There, to me, like, it's not even a question. The question's like, it doesn't make sense, right? Because there is an industry for every type of photographer. So which industry yeah. are we talking, you know? So like if I was a wedding photographer, then that's an entirely different industry than the landscape. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like some things that have been frustrating in some of the categories that I find my like content falling in, it's just hard. Cause like I have examples on both drastic ends. Like you could take like a Chris Ricard, who does very little editing, and he focuses entirely on scenario, story, composition. Yeah. You know, he does very little edits because what he's doing is so epic, and it's the perspective of what he's doing is seen so few times by people on the planet. That's what makes right. it popular. Not a lot of people take pictures of people surfing in Iceland, or like, it's just not something you see yeah. very often. So like he doesn't have to worry about the editing side, but on the other side, like there's a couple of photographers here in Utah that are probably some of the bigger landscape photographers on Instagram. My opinion, they're just digital artists. Like the photography is like a fraction of what the final photo ends up being. You know, they're spending hours editing a photo. And to me, that's so foreign. But I don't know if that means I would change one or the other, because to me, it's a spectrum you can fall into. Like you can be, if you don't want to spend hours on your computer editing a photo to turn it into something insanely epic looking, even though it was pretty epic that you took the picture and it was decent and you transformed it into this Peter Lick type image. If you don't want to be that guy, guess what? You can be the story guy. You can say, I'm going to hike the top of a freaking mountain that nobody ever hikes to, and I'm going to freaking mountain board on it or something. Like that could be your other end of the spectrum, is like story or just image. Like, so I don't know if I would change anything per se. To me, it's more just like pick which end of the spectrum you want to be on and keep working at it. Cause I wouldn't even say that I've really been a part of the industry. I think anything business related applies to if you want to make photography as a business. So it's the same. There are no differences. Like, swap out the ingredients. You could be selling pizza or you could be selling photos. the same things that make the pizza seller successful are going to make the photographer person successful, you know?
That's true. Like following up with people or making sure the quality is good. Yeah. All the little nuances.
Yeah. And just anything, like you mentioned it, it's like he might take good photos, but he's not good at the business side. Well, guess what? You're going to have to find someone good at the business side and you're going to have to share equity in your business because you can't, would you want 50% of $100,000 or would you want 100% of $10,000? Yeah. Because if you could only get to 10,000 on your own and you're like, I know I could be at 100,000 if I knew how to market better.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're going to have to find a split with somebody who can do it better. And that's the same as the pizza guy. That's the same as the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have the skill, you need to outsource it, hire someone on. And that's how every business works. So.
No, I agree. Definitely. Favorite thing to photograph, if that, I mean, I know it used to be, I don't know if it, well, it's changed, I guess. Cause I think you did landscapes for a little bit and then you like, I don't know if the Astro falls in the landscapes or how that, I don't know. Yeah.
It's totally different. Yeah. It's at night, long exposure photography, daytime photography. There's way more. Yeah. So for me, I kind of like to get to, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I first became a photographer.
Yeah.
So anybody who had a cool photo, I spent hours on YouTube being like, how do I do it? Or I'd reach out to them. And even with Astro, I reached out to people who would literally tell me exactly what they're doing. But even then, I could not accomplish it. And then like they would tell me step by step what they're doing. And I would go out into the field and be like, my images are not turning out that way. It's driving me mad.
Yeah.
And it turns out like the most hilarious part about my Astro journey is like I overcomplicated it to the max. To get the images that some of these guys I was following, they were using a separate program called PixInsight. They were doing negatives, zeros. They were doing 50 photos. They're blending them all to get this beautiful cloud nebula looking thing. And I'm like, ah, that just can't be the way, blah, blah, blah. And so then I was doing Milky Way photos for like, probably doing it for like 3 years. And every now and then I'd get a photo that would be okay, but my edit just would not look like, I could not get the Milky Way to look like a fluffy cloud like they would. It's three clicks in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Turns out. Like, I found another workaround that had nothing to do with the way that these super technical photographers were doing it. Like I said, I'm a lazy guy. I found a literal, like, three-click method to get the photo to look like how theirs look like without doing the thousands of, like, yeah, other things that they were doing. And I was like, that was one of the only like aha moments in my photography journey because I would like obsess over it. And if you've ever gone to take photos of the Milky Way, it's exhausting. You have to drive an hour or more. You have to be out throughout the night. You have to drive back if it's on a weeknight or whatever because conditions aren't always on Saturday.
It's cold.
So, and then when I figured out, I finally found a video that was just like, yeah, this is how you did it. And I was like, holy crap. I had spent a year looking into like you're doing math in some of these like astro photography programs. Like you're like, you're like maxing out the RAM on your computer. You're layering so many different photos. You're taking completely black photos so that there's a negative space or whatever to blend it with. And
yeah,
turns out what I was looking for was literally like three clicks, yeah, in Photoshop onto the photo. Capturing it is still hard. It still took me a long time to capture a good Milky Way photo. But to turn the sky into like a nice milky cloud,
yeah,
was like what I wanted to accomplish. And then finally figured out it's just a quick little method in Photoshop was able to do it. But
nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that's I haven't done those in a long time. So I would think right now my favorite type of photography has been like knife photos, like doing product outdoor lifestyle photos. Yeah. My favorite fly fishing, knives. I'm working with this company that sells hats and like sunglasses and stuff. But again,
yeah,
I just kind of let that die. I didn't, yeah, keep bugging them. And they were like, oh, well, we're not going to pay you, but we will send you some stuff. And if you take some good photos of it for free, like then maybe we'll put you on our list of photographers we work with in the future. And then I was like, yeah. And then we both just like never, they stopped reaching out because it was the holidays, I'm sure. And they had millions of orders to send out. This is a small, yeah, company in Colorado. And then that's on my list. I need to email them again, yeah, to get that going. But
that's probably one of my, I don't know. It's kind of like, I mean, and I've been in that spectrum as a photographer. Like, And I think every business, especially small ones, need, and starting out, they need those people that are like, we'll add you to the list and we don't really have a budget, but we'll keep you in mind. And it's like, thanks. And it's like on a promise and a hope. And I, and that's not bad. It's not a bad thing at all. But like, I guess because I've been in the spectrum of like, oh, they gave me free stuff. Cool. And then, oh, they'll pay me how much for a day's worth work of images? And it's like, why was I doing stuff for free?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That's the hard part about the industry, right? Is like, yeah, like the guy that I've referenced a few times in this conversation, like he had a guy reach out to him and he was like, hey, I want to get this and this. It was for some sort of an event that was happening like in 2 weeks. And he was like, hey, could you video the event and do like a highlight video? And then also just like do us this other type of video. And his first question was like, great, like what's the budget? And the guy's like, oh, the budget for the whole thing's $1,000. And he's like, I don't even show up with, like, I will personally be there for $2,000, but that's not including my camera gear.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, I don't think, cause he knows he can get that. And he does get that consistently with other people. And so the hardest part when you're getting started, and even when you're a seasoned veteran, is being like, finding whatever range you're comfortable with denying people for, being like, hey, thanks for reaching out. Unfortunately, like where I'm at in my career, what I think the value I bring is worth $2,000 a day without even, that's just like me to be there. And if your budget for the entire thing is $1,000, like here's some other photographers who are on their way up who would gladly take that, you know?
Yep.
So he actually passed it off to me.
Yeah.
And I might do it. I'm not sure. Cause to me, I'm like, sure. $1,000. Like, I'll do that. But then it's the same thing you just recognized, which is like, oh, I just did like so much work for free. And a month later, a company offered me a $2,000 to do the exact same thing for them. And I'm like, why did I do that other thing for free? So,
and it's kind of like,
there's
always kind of where you're at with your career, like how much and what you're willing to accept, because it, I don't know, it's hard to say, because like, sometimes you're like, any work is great. And then it's like, on the other hand of that, it's like, no. Like, and I think, and it comes to the point when you're like, because people valued you enough that they paid you for your time, you then got the freedom to have your time back in a sense. And so when people are like, oh, we want you to come and do the same thing. And it's like, no, that's my time. It's worth more. And I think the biggest thing is like learning to value your own time. But anyway, not to.
Yeah. That's the. There's a photographer called the Million Dollar Photographer or whatever. And he does like portraits. So he charges like $100,000 for a family portrait. He had this podcast. He had this Instagram. I came across it years ago when I was beginning to try to find a way to make money. And it's kind of one of the quotes he said was like, the biggest mistake for beginning photographers, videographers, or anyone doing anything creative is that mistaking being busy for being successful. Because at the end of the day, the most valuable thing is time. Regardless of how much money you're making, like, you'll never get time back. You can always find a way to make more money, but you can never get your time back. And so he was saying, like, I see family photographers have a 8 day, nine hour a day schedule where they're charging $25 or $50 a photo session. And it's like, I actually have personal experience with someone like that. I had someone from work ask me how much I would charge to do a quick family photo session of them in the canyon.
Yeah.
And I said, $100. And they said, $100? Are you serious? There's a girl in my ward that'll do it for 25. And I said, then go with the girl in your ward. And the worst part about it was he showed me the photos that she took and they were great. I was like, these are great family photos. And to me, I'm like, what a shame for her.
Yeah.
I'm like, you'd made $25 for that. And it, you had to drive there. You had to take the session. You had to edit. You're probably making $5 an hour, $6 an hour. Granted, her edit was just a
preset. If that, the way gas prices are.
She probably just threw a preset on, which was fine. But I was shocked. I was like, these are very adequate family photos. Like, I need to find that chick and tell her she's dumb. You need to charge your prices higher. Like, because you're just wasting your own time. Like, and I'm willing to say, for me, it's even, I still win, even though she takes my client. All I need is one other person to say yes. And then she has to do three other clients to make what I made in one session.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, you can't just like charge people crazy amounts just if you don't think like you can offer them value. So it's kind of hard to be a self-critic and gauge like your value to your, what you want to charge people. But like, I don't do anything. $100 is the minimum I will even like grab my camera for anything. Cause like my camera's $8,000 and I have 10 years experience. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to go do something for $40, like $50. Like I am doing headshots, like corporate headshots for friends and family on Instagram for $50. But I know that it's going to take me 5 minutes to take that photo.
Yeah.
So I'm basically, and I know it's going to take me about 25, 30 minutes to edit them. So I'm saying I'm giving myself $50 an hour, which to me seems fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, typically it's like a big mistake with beginning people to say like, if I'm very, very, very busy, then I'm very, very, very successful. And it's like, you got to find a gauge.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost $25 to go up the canyon and do a family pictures. It's almost like, here, I'll let you take pictures of me and my family and you can pay me because it's me and my, like, I don't, yeah, say, like, that's so low. I just can't even fathom.
It's so low.
Yeah.
And I have friends who do, that's their niche. They do family photos, engagements and whatever. And she charges $600 a session and people pay it. She's busy every day.
Yeah.
Because her photos are great. Because the reason why I don't like that industry as much, it's not the photo side of the business. It's the posing and being very good with people side of the business that makes those people. Yeah. You could go buy this camera and you could set it to autofocus on people's eyes and you could crush it as a brand new photographer in the industry of taking portraits, like family portraits, engagements, whatever,
yeah,
with the kind of gear that you can buy today, as long as you're the type of person that wants to really interact with people, be super goofy, be fun, be super lighthearted, get them to play these posing games and stuff like that. And then you can make an incredible living doing it that way. Yeah. Me, not my thing.
All right. Same. I don't mind it, but I don't love it. And it's something I'll do, but it's not. Yeah, it's
the other thing though. This year, the other thing on my whiteboard right here says extra income total and currently has zero. I've done one session this year. I made $100. I need to write a 100 on there. But like personally, I want that to say $30,000 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like I kick it into gear. I haven't sent my email this week to a client. I haven't reached out and set a date and a time for people for headshots yet. I have people interested.
Yeah.
But it comes back on me being like, oh, can I really take a headshot? Of course I can.
Yeah, you can.
But I've been doing this for 10 years. And even now I'm still just like, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Like, of course I do. I just need to schedule it and go do it.
You know what you're doing. Just otherwise like I wouldn't have invited you on here. You know what you're doing.
Exactly.
So,
but we're all our own worst critics. And it's like, personally, everything I've ever done, I just look at it and I'm like, that's trash. I hate it. I'm the worst photographer ever.
I think we all look at our own work like, if only I could have my stuff look like his. But it's like,
yeah.
And the thing is, though, like, if you can compare yourself again to like the person that you were a year ago, like, you'd see that complete difference. But anyway,
and it just takes time.
Yeah. So, if you wanted to drop your Instagram handle again and just let people know where they can find you, and then
we'll
probably wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, if there are some listeners out there, hopefully you got some value.
There's some.
Hopefully, you got some value from it.
There are some.
I post quite often on the Instagram. It's called Daniel.BowmanPhoto. And then my YouTube that I started is actually like an adventure / fishing YouTube. And that one's called Trout Tailor, kind of like tailing a trout. And there's an apostrophe between the two. But if you just search trout fishing in Utah, my account will probably show up. But
yeah,
those are the two things I got going on this year. And hopefully both of those will see huge improvements. I have some pretty big goals with actually trying to put all this work I've spent, like all this education I've learned for 10 years, I'm trying to finally be like, I have a new definition of what success to me is. Yeah. So this year I have a new challenge for like being successful while using these skills that I also think are really fun. Like I want to make my hobby.
Yeah.
And personally, one of those is an income goal. So it's like, I really want to get a high income. So another thing we didn't even touch on was like real estate photography. To me, right in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with people. It's more like a product shoot. And you can stack them up pretty, you can do like two or three a day if you get a bunch of realtors, you know. But that's that.
Well, I appreciate you guys, you being on the podcast. And
no worries. Thanks for inviting me.
Big thank you to everyone that's made it this far into the episode. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening and being a listener. If you have not yet rated us on Apple Podcasts, that helps us out a megaton. Like it's the big thing that helps make our channel, this podcast, rank and grow. Basically, it helps me to be able to do more of these. Again, thank you guys so much for being here. If you haven't yet subscribed, so you get notified with every weekly episode, every Wednesday, every morning, we would love it if you would subscribe. Again, thank you guys for being here. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks.